Hi, I'm Mindy Heisel, and I'm the music director here at WVIK Quad Cities NPR. Welcome to Rachel Barton Pine, violinist extraordinaire. Rachel is talking with me a little bit about her new CD release, the Bel Canto Paganini. And welcome, Rachel. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great to be here.
Well, this is really an amazing CD, and the genesis of it also seems to be rather extraordinary itself. But to kind of go back and give people a little bit of background that may not be familiar with your extraordinary career and the high level of virtuosity that you bring to every performance, you actually started playing at a very, very early age. And
I started when I was three, but that's not too uncommon these days.
Yes, but I think your singular focus is a little bit uncommon. I've read a couple of articles about you where you kind of said that you knew from three or five that this was what you wanted to do, and you really jumped into this with kind of a hyper focus and a level of discipline that you don't often see with kids that age.
Yeah, I was definitely a strange child, I guess, but I was so lucky to have discovered what I love at such a young age and just, you know, couldn't get enough of the violin. I guess, you know, when you think about a kid playing video games all day or being out in the backyard shooting hoops for hours on end, nobody thinks that's weird. And for me, the violin was super fun and I just wanted to play it for hour after hour.
And you concentrated on it so intensely. Did you have, I know that it's difficult to sort of qualify those feelings, but did you have somebody in mind that you were thinking, someday I'm going to play like this person? Or was it always, I'm just going to play. I have a gift to bring to the world, and this is how I'm going to present it.
Well, that's a great question. Certainly, there were various people that inspired me, you know, listening to Anna Sophie Mutter's recordings, watching Perlman on TV, et cetera. But, you know, so I knew what a violin soloist was. But I also loved chamber music and orchestra playing, and I just wanted to do it all and just do whatever I could in music. And so as a little girl, you know, I grew up playing in my church, and that's where I really learned that, you know, music is a gift, and those of us who've been blessed with that gift, you know, it's our joy and our responsibility to develop it within ourselves as much as we can and then share it with people to uplift their spirits. And that was really the meaning of why I wanted to be a musician, or why I believed that I was meant to be a musician. And, you know, I sort of bring that goal with me, you know, to the concert stage or to the classroom or wherever I happen to be sharing my music with people.
Well, another thing that I really like about what you're doing is we share a passion for a lot of the same rock music stars, and you have actually performed with a number of them. Jimmy Page, woo! And you also work with a lot of other artists like Mark O'Connor, Edgar Meyer, people that are not only just concentrating in their musical genre, whether it's classical, bluegrass, whatever, but kind of reaching across musical aisles and performing with other artists. Why do you think that's so important to kind of reach across musical aisles like that and perform with other artists? What does that mean to you, do you think, professionally and personally as a musician?
Yeah, well, I am primarily a classical violinist, and one of my big goals and missions in life really is, you know, to be an advocate for classical music and to introduce as many new listeners to classical as I can. Whether it's children or, you know, people my age who are maybe rock fans and haven't discovered classical yet. And what's really cool, one of the messages that I spread is that, in fact, classical music has been inspired by a lot of other styles, whether we're talking about folk music or jazz or whatever, but then classical itself has inspired many of the great rock artists. Classical in general, and some of the violin virtuosos in particular, Paganini being one of the foremost of those. You know, the 24 Caprices are a favorite of so many electric guitarists. So, you know, hopefully not only classical connoisseurs, but also rock listeners will enjoy my new CD.
This Bel Canto Paganini is an amazing CD. I've already played it several times on my afternoon music program. Oh, yeah. You really make those pieces sing, which is what Bel Canto is, beautiful singing. What was it specifically about Paganini and a project of this scope and breadth that really drew you towards, you know, I'm going to record all of the caprices of Paganini and then a few other little solo works. Was there a particular moment in your life, or was this a goal that you had had for a long time to bring Paganini's music out like this for people that maybe...
Oh, absolutely. It's been on the list for quite a while, and I finally, you know, got to it in the order of things. And I've been performing the 24 in a single concert for quite a few years. It was a goal that I aspired to when I was younger because I had heard that Ruggiero Ricci and Gideon Kremer had done this, and I was curious whether I might be able to get my stamina up and do it myself. But then after I did it, and it was no longer about, you know, the technical challenge of it, I realized that it was just this incredible journey for audiences to listen to the, you know, the amazing variety of characters and colors and, you know, and the expressive range of the violin. And so I've been doing it ever since, and it's just so fun to take listeners on this journey, and I wanted to definitely do that on album. And when I decided to record the caprices recently, when I, you know, scheduled the sessions, I realized I want to do all of the repeats that Paganini indicates that people don't normally do, because I want to give him just as much respect as any other composer. You know, that if we were recording, you know, Beethoven or Schubert from the early 1800s, you wouldn't just slash their repeats willy-nilly. So doing all of the Paganini repeats actually made the caprices take longer than a single album. And so once I had a double album, I realized, oh, I can add a few more fun things. And Paganini did compose just a few other unaccompanied gems. So that's why I decided to add those. And so it's kind of like bonus tracks, if you will.
Oh, totally. Oh, yes. Well, and that's the great thing, because, I mean, you bring up a very important point. It's different in the form of a sonata or a chamber piece, in that a caprice, I think, sometimes is something that could be easily dismissed because it's just sort of a smaller form, kind of a free form musical piece that tends to be pretty lively. So it's quickly executed. But they're highly virtuosic in nature. So I think your idea of really taking them and then putting bel canto on them, making these pieces sing, is really fantastic. I love it. Love the whole idea.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Yeah, well, you know, we think of Paganini as, you know, a great instrumentalist, which he was, but he stylistically came from the same era as the great opera composers like Rossini and Verdi and Bellini and Donizetti, and that was the language in which he was writing. He was kind of taking that vocal style and transferring it to the violin. And Rossini actually said if Paganini were to write opera, he would put the rest of us out of business, and that's how highly those guys thought of his composing of melodies. So he wasn't just all about the fast flying fingers. There's also the lyrical side of his playing, which I think was equally as important.
Yeah, you bring up a great point there with the fact that Paganini was also an exceptionally talented composer. I think most of us that have any passing idea or knowledge of Paganini think of him as, you know, sort of the rock star of his day. It was his performances that brought people to see him.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it wasn't all circus tricks. You know, it's not like a figure skater going out there and doing a bunch of triple jumps. I mean, in music, you know, that's just the starting point. Certainly there are moments of, you know, bombast and flashiness, but then, you know, it really tells a story, each piece, and, you know, so many wonderful atmospheres that it creates, and you know, real earworms like number 20, for example. So it's just an incredible collection. And the fact that he dedicated it to all the artists, you know, that really says something about where he was coming from with these caprices.
So now, after you've done this really amazing project, and one that I sense is also deeply personal for you, because I really feel there's a lot of emotive quality on your part that comes through in these Paganini caprices.
Yeah, well, it's not an easy thing for either a composer or a performer to, you know, capture something for violin alone. Mm-hmm. You know, the violin doesn't play unaccompanied that often. Of course, you've got your solo Bach. But, you know, usually the violin is paired with a piano or chamber group or soloing with an orchestra. So, you know, the onus is on the interpreter to really make each little piece stand on its own two feet and figure out what's unique and special about each one. And, you know, it's a challenge, but it's also such a fun exploration.
Rachel, thank you so much. We'll look forward to hearing more of Bel Canto Paganini, and looking forward to your next project as well. Thank you for your time today.
All right. Thanks again for having me on.
That was violinist Rachel Barton Pine. Ooh, had a great opportunity to speak with Rachel about her latest release, Paganini Caprices and Other Little Solo Gems for Unaccompanied Violin, Bel Canto Paganini, the newest release by Rachel Barton Pine.